You know, in John chapter 18, and we'll be there in a year or two, it seems like, the way we're going. But in John chapter 18, Jesus is having a conversation with Pilate. John 18, verse 37. Listen to this. "And Pilate therefore said unto Jesus, Art thou a king then?" John 18, verse 37. "Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And listen to Pilate's response. "Pilate saith unto him, What is truth?" What is truth? Throughout history, people have sought to know the truth about reality, about what is right and what is wrong, about what is meaningful and purposeful in life. And as a result of that, we have just an endless array of philosophies and worldviews and religious systems that have arisen over the century, each of them purporting to teach absolute truth, and each of them in turn literally canceling out the absolute truths of those that came before them. The belief that mankind on his own could formulate the perfect philosophical system, one that would fully explain all of reality, well, back during the 18th and 19th centuries, a time called the Enlightenment, that's when it all came together, they thought. Human reason, it was thought, would eventually discover the answer to all of life's questions and therefore solve all of society's problems. The assumption that intellectual achievements, and with the growing body of all the scientific knowledge that was coming about, that humanity would eventually be able to find its utopia. Hence, because remember now, it's all man-made, there's no need for religion. Besides that, religion had kept people in darkness for centuries. There was no interest in the divine revelation of salvation, since man believed he could save himself from his own problems. But the optimism of the Enlightenment, well, it didn't take long to fade into oblivion. What destroyed the Enlightenment and all the reasoning and the fact that man can have all the answers? Well, we had two world wars. We had the Holocaust. We had the terrifying reality of a nuclear war quickly shattered those unrealistic idealism of the 18th and 19th century. In its place, what was next? Well, we came in the 20th century to what's known as modernism. Modernism takes, to put it in a nutshell, it's skepticism and pessimism. You see, sinners want to sin and do evil and feel no guilt. So therefore, a lack of absolutes accommodates the desperately wicked human heart. People imagine, now this was back, you remember that the God is dead era, we all remember that. They imagine, well, if there's no absolutes and there's no foundation, well, then denying the existence of all of these things, and by the way, when you deny the existence of absolute truth, you throw off all biblical moral authority, that would set people free. The only problem is it just left them more empty. Then we have the 21st century, postmodernism. Postmodernism simply says this: well, there's no absolute truth. We took care of that in the 20th century with the moderns. But in the 21st century, the postmodernism, it says, well, our truth base, our absolutes, and this is what will make you crazy. The only thing postmodernists are absolutely certain of is that nothing is absolutely certain. All it does is give you headaches and you have to go buy BC powders and hopefully that'll help you. But what they say is that the culture determines what truth is. In other words, whatever the majority of the people agree on, that's what truth is. We take polls. Is abortion right or wrong? Well, the majority of Americans right now say no. And then we have Supreme Court justices and politicians and everybody say it's okay. State of California, they voted twice now on two referendums that marriage is between a male and a female, and their Supreme Court over there in California, they keep throwing it out saying, well, you know, I know you voted on it, and I know you've done this twice, but it's wrong. We don't agree with that. It goes against the Constitution of the state of California, which also says that the people have the right to make their own laws, but that's a whole other argument. So there's this insanity. But yet man still comes and says, what is truth? The same question that Pilate asked all the way back in the first century. What is truth? Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you throw out the absolutes, and if you say, well, we'll let the culture define what truth is, and the reality of all of that is that one day, because God's word has never changed, one day you're going to have to stand before Almighty God and be held accountable for how you lived your life, how you conducted your life. That's the reality. Those are the absolute truths. And yet man, because he is born and those things are ingrained in him, he refuses to acknowledge it. But in the postmodern mindset, out of sight is out of mind. That's why they say they can sin without a guilty conscience, and yet there are more people today that are on, you know, they're depressed, they're on all these kinds of drugs that have to help them with all this stuff, they have to continue to go to see therapists and psychologists, and they do all that. And the easiest thing is that just come to the truth about yourself, the truth about your origin, the truth about why you do the things that you do. Embrace the truth. This is reality. This is you. And yet, man, whether it was during the Enlightenment, whether it's during the modern times, the modernist time, or whether it's during postmodern, they still refuse to admit it. Why? Man is running away from the truth instead of embracing it. Jesus comes. And remember who he's dealing with here. He's dealing with some first century religionists. And to help set the stage, what have they just experienced? Well, they've just gone through the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, what's that all about? Well, you remember when they were in bondage in Egypt and God got them out of there with Moses and the Red Sea and they lived in the tabernacles for 40 years? Yeah. And they've also just experienced Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement. They've just gone through, in the first century, right here in our text, they have just experienced all of that, but instead of embracing the truths of that, it's become traditional. Now, there's an issue here that we've got to understand. What you and I have been taught through our educational system, from the Enlightenment, reason, we can figure this thing out. I just need to sit down, and I need to just, you know, I can. Then we come, that was the 18th and 19th, and we were taught that in college. And then you come to the 20th century. Well, you know, everything was logical, and you know, we just got to be able to reason all of this and put it together. And then we come to the postmodern age, where there's no absolute truth. And you know why Christianity takes such a hit in the postmodern age, is because the mantra for postmodernism is tolerance. You've got to learn, you've got to tolerate. And where the greatest sins that are being committed today in society have to do with sexual behavior. Do you know that there is a movement out there, and it's been around, that you can be defined by your sexual orientation? It's called homosexuality. Who would have ever thought that who you are is defined by your sexual orientation and activity? Folks, that's just how ill and sick we are. And yet that's okay. Where does Jesus stand? Jesus, listen to me now. We're not homophobes. We're not. Listen to me what I'm saying. We will do everything we can. Why? What we say is Jesus loves you. Jesus wants to save you. And yet they say, well, I'm a Christian, but there's only one problem with that. You've got a guy who's an alcoholic. You've got a guy who's a drug addict. You've got a guy who's a thief, the guy that does all. Those are all behavioral things, by the way. And then you say, when you come to faith in Christ, it's faith in what? And repentance. You repent from whatever lifestyle that's keeping you away from Jesus and from God and having a relationship with Him. Except because we are taught and told that we are to be tolerant, you know what? We've got to leave that sacred cow alone. Because you can be a homosexual. You can be, listen, tolerance. You can be a Muslim. You can be a Jehovah's Witness. You can be a Mormon. You can be all of these things. And yet, you know, you're okay, I'm okay, and we're all just getting along. And everything's fine until you come to the truth. And then we have a problem, don't we? The truth says, Jesus says, I will set you free from the shackles of sin. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth. And I say, oh, that is so narrow-minded. Thank God it's so narrow-minded. Jesus, by the way, did us a favor. He's not giving us 6 doors to go through. He's giving us 1 door to go through. Now, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer and the brightest bulb in the closet, but I'm glad I got 1 door. That's called grace. But yet we're being told that we've got to be taught. You've got to be acceptable. You can't. And see, and with Christianity, like just what I said right now, you know, I could be arrested in England for saying what I just did because that's considered hate speech. Canada, what I just said, the fact that Muslims and Mormons, and not even the homosexuals, just because I said that, they could come in today and they could put me in chains and haul me out, and I would be standing before a judge. They would take away everything because I said the truth. That's where we are. But now, what are we going to do? If we take what we've learned from the Enlightenment, what we've learned from the 20th century with the modernists, and if we take the postmodernists, and you bring all of that together, and you say, well, I don't really agree and believe with all that. Wait a minute. And you come today, and you sit before me, and I stand up, and I declare to you that Jesus Christ is the only way a person, and you sit back there, and for one moment you go, well, are you sure? You've been infected. Preacher, I think you're being tolerant. Well, are you sure? Reason and rationalizing. So see, we bring all of that with us. So we have to make a declaration. There needs to be a coronation. Something needs to happen in your heart and in my heart. Now, I did this about 30-something years ago. I can remember it. I was asked to do my first funeral. And it was my brother's father-in-law. And boy, there was tons of emotion there. And this man was not a believer. And as a matter of fact, he kind of made fun of some things, especially me, because I was just a little preacher. And so the family asked me to do it. And so I'm sitting back there in this room, and I keep looking out that little window. They got a little window, by the way, for you people. Looking out the window, and I think, man, the place was full. This was up in Jacksonville. And they're standing out in the hallway, and I'm thinking, what in the world? I am scared out of my mind. And it wasn't the fact of standing before people. It was the fact whether or not am I going to tell the truth, which is going to hurt feelings and people going to be upset with me, or am I going to get out there and just talk about he's just nice, he's wonderful, he's Mr. Black, you know, and he's just, what am I going to do? I'll never forget. Got on my knees. It was a tile floor back there. Giddens funeral home. I got on my knees and I said, Lord Jesus, here I am. I said, I do not want to offend you. Help me today. Give me courage. Give me the words to say. And the guy knocked on the door and I didn't even get to finish the prayer. All right, Reverend, come on, let's go. Got up, took my Bible, walked out there. My brother's looking at me, and he's got this look like. And I smiled at him. And I looked around. I was trying to find somebody I knew. And there wasn't anybody in there I knew. And I said, well, if you'll open your Bibles up to John 14. And the Lord spoke through me. I couldn't tell you what I said. But all I know is when we got to the graveside, if they'd had another tomb available, they'd have put me in it because they were not happy with me. Because that, as I was told later on, as a hand hit the counter, was not what we asked you to do. I said, well, ma'am, I don't do what people ask me to do. I do what God called me to do. And I didn't say that with pride. I said it with righteous indignation. Now, folks, we've got to make up our minds. Are you going to have a coronation, sir? Are you going to crown him king in your heart, king in your life? Are you going to push away all of the stuff from the Enlightenment? Are you going to push away all the stuff that we've got to be, you know, we've got to be tolerant? We've got or are you going to stand by the truth? I'm not talking about being ugly with it. I'm talking about we're going to stand by the truth. We're going to be compassionate like Jesus. Jesus never sent anybody away. Jesus never acted ugly. Are we going to do that? Or are we just going to embrace the world and be like the world? If you do that, that's not the truth, by the way. If you say you're this and you live this, there's another word for that. It's called hypocrisy. And that is a heavy coat to wear. Jesus comes in John chapter 8. And in verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. Now, go back to verse 30. Remember now, he's given a number of short, we'll call them sermonettes. But it says in verse 30, and as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Now, they've set the stage. Many believed on him. Verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, here comes the acid test. If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And if you continue in my word, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's the acid test. What am I saying? I'm just going to give you the long and the short of this morning. You come and you say, I believe. And you know what Jesus says? Here's the test. Here's the proof text. If you continue in my word, you will become my disciples. And as you're becoming my disciples and as you learn of me, you will be set free because I'm the truth. There's three steps. It's right there in the text. And by the way, it's not going to be much longer, and there are going to be some of these disciples who are just going to do what? They're going to walk away. Why? Because their belief was not real. You say, but David, it says right there, wait a minute now. Now we can do the Greek and do all this. But Jesus said, as many as he spoke these words in verse 30, many believed on him. Then Jesus challenges them. By the way, this is not Jesus trying to expose them to, you know, to make them look bad. No, he's trying to help them understand, do they really believe? If you really believe and if you really trust, you're going to continue in his word. And guess what? Result of that, it's a discipline. You're going to become his disciple. And what's the result of that? You'll be set free from all these things that held you in bondage and held you in shackles. See, in our day, we've got a lot. And see, this is all the Enlightenment, the modernism, the postmodernism. All of this has come to fruit now. And we stand up here and we say, well, it's easy believism. All you got to do, oh, if I hear that one more time, I'm going to scream. All you got to do is just believe. Folks, just believing, that's the starting place. How many people do you know of who've walked down the aisle and said they believe, and then they disappear and you never see them again? What does that say? Jesus said, well, if they were of us, they'd still be with us. But because they're not of us, they're not a part of us. And boy, that's offensive, because that's not being very tolerant. See, we're bringing all those philosophies in. But here's Jesus, who, by the way, is the truth himself. He's simply saying that, you remember what Paul said over, and he said, to, you know, make sure that you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Jesus says, if you continue in my word, that means there was a starting place. You say you believe. If you continue my word, then you become my disciples, and then what? And the truth will set you free. And yet, what happens? What happens with that? Let me share just one or two quick things with you, and then we're going to move on. Believing in Jesus means abiding, dwelling there, staying there, continuing in his word, knowing and grasping and experiencing the truth. What does the truth do? The truth is light. Truth as the light, it exposes all of the darkness, all the false things, all of the fallacies, all those things around us. And walking in the truth and obeying the light does what? It keeps us in fellowship with Him. 1 John 1. So it's all there and it all makes sense. But yet when you bring in the Enlightenment, modernism, and postmodernism, and you bring it all in, and so you mix it up with a little bit of gospel and a little bit of church and a little bit of this, and then you shake it up real good and you pour it out and you go, there's my Christianity. That's me. Only problem is, it doesn't look like the Christianity that Jesus is talking about. And because of that, you struggle. With the same stuff over and over. You have a temper you can't control. You've got lust. You've got egos. You've got pride. You've got all of these things. And you go, well, I guess that's the way it is. And everybody's like me. So, it's okay. It's not that big a deal. But it is a big deal. Because it's not like Jesus. And you wonder why you have no fellowship. Why? Because there's sin in your life. And you wonder why you're not growing in the faith. Because there's unconfessed stuff in your life. And folks, listen, if you can't, you believe in Him, yes. But if you continue in Him and you'll become His disciples, the truth's going to set you free. So here's the whole package. But you know what? You've not even opened the wrapper up. You say, well, I believe. I believe all that works for other people, but it's not working for me. The truth delivers us from the darkness of spiritual death. It emancipates us from the prison house of sin. Listen to this. As we come to terms with the truth of our cravings, that's sin. As we come to terms with the truth of their origin and influences, why do sinners sin? Why do they do that? Well, you can go back and say, well, starting in Genesis. Well, yeah, then it's passed along, and it's my father. It's the sin nature. Satan standing behind it. These are my sins. I've committed them. I have to confess before God that they're mine. I have to be willing to submit myself to Him. I have to give Him my life. I have to give Him my sin. That's the reality. That's what sets us free. But you know what people do? They say, well, preacher, I know I've got needs in my life, but that's not my fault. I didn't do that. That's my mama. That's my daddy. And that was that bus driver when I was in the first grade. And, it's that wife of mine. I'd be great if it went, and it's that guy I work for, and that guy I bought that car from, and they lied to me about my, and it's all. Isn't that all we hear today? It's everybody else's fault. But until you come to the realization of the truth about yourself, you're not a believer. You're a believer in yourself. You're not a believer in Christ. He can't set you free until you come to that place. Knowing the truth, listen, studying His Word is not a condition of discipleship. Rather, it is a manifestation of it. Let me show you what the Jews do. I'm going to close. Listen, watch this now. Jesus says in verse 32, and the truth, and by the way, the truth is standing right in front of them. He's already told them that He's going to the cross. If I be lifted up, I will pay all your sin debt in full. Now watch what happens in 33. And they answered Him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. Now hold on a second. We just celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. Who are they in bondage to then? Egypt. And don't forget Assyria, Babylon, and Rome. We've never been in bondage to anybody. All right? What about Yom Kippur? We've just celebrated the Day of Atonement. Why do we have to celebrate the Day of Atonement? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's one of those aha moments. And honestly, they're going, so? What's it have to do with us? See what happens when tradition takes over? See what happens when you throw away absolute truths? See what happens when you will not confront honestly, your own needs. Jesus. And you say, we shall be made free? Verse 34. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever habitually lives, commits sin, is the servant of sin. This is your lifestyle. Verse 35. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. Now, what's going on here? Jesus says, you are a slave to what? Sin. Sin owns you. You can't conquer it. You can't overcome it. He says it right there in verse 30. Whoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. You are abiding in the house of sin. Now, if you're a slave, the owner can sell you, he can kill you, or he can give you away if you're a slave. First century slave. Not a lot of promise there, is there? But if you're the son always. Why? Because he's going to inherit. And the son has control and the son has power in the house. Now watch what he says. If the son, therefore, verse 36, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Jesus says, I've come because you are slaves to sin. I have come and I am going to set you free. How? I'm going to pay the sin debt. As a slave, if someone comes along and pays off your indebtedness, now how do they become slaves back in the first century? If you became indebted to someone and you couldn't pay your debt, you became a slave to whomever you owned until the debt was paid. Now, if it was a big debt, that's just life. You're going to be there the rest of your life. But if someone comes along and pays that debt, you're set free. Jesus said, I, as the Son of God, I have come and I will do what? I will pay your sin debt in full. And I will set you free. Not only will I pay your sin debt, but I will destroy the chains of darkness. I will destroy those things that hold you in bondage. I will set you free. Now, not only in the first century, but also even in our day, there are people who bring along with all the stuff from the Enlightenment, all the stuff from modernism, all the stuff from postmodernism. They say, well, you know, I'm not that bad that somebody has to come along and help me out. I mean, I'm sufficient. I can take care of myself. Thank you very much. And you're going to die in your sin and your bondage. All because you will not admit that you have a need, that you will not admit that you are sinful, that you will not admit that you're wrong, and you will die in your sin. And here's the truth. Grace, I will settle your sin account. I will set you free. You shall be free indeed because I'm going to the cross to pay. And you know what they said? We're Abraham's seed. You don't get into heaven by birth. My mom and dad were Christians. I was born into a Christian family. Not by birth. What about nationality? Abraham, Genesis 12, the promises. You don't get in by genealogy either. You only get in by the new birth. And the new birth consists of what? Confession, repentance, and submission. More people are going to die and go to hell because of their pride than any other thing. And pride is a deadly sin. And Jesus is standing there right in front of them. The truth will set you free. You have an alcoholic, you have a drug addict, any person with a behavioral, if they have to come to grips with the truth of what they are. That's always step one. Number two, they have to come to grips with the truth of the origin. Alcoholism is in my family. I know that. When I was 15, the first alcohol beverage I ever drank, I said, man, this is better than Kool-Aid. They lied to me. They said, you got to grow accustomed to it. It's great. Why? Number one, I was 22 years old. Were you an alcoholic? No, I just drank six-pack every night and a case on Saturday. I don't know what the problem was. I didn't consider myself an alcoholic. I mean, I thought I was okay. Everybody else got a problem. I'm okay. It's my standard. I was in trouble. I had to admit that. That was the reality of it. Secondly, I had to admit it's in the genes. That's the origin of it. And not only my dad and his dad, you trace it all the way back, goes back to Adam. And who's standing on the other side of Adam? Satan. And he's flat enjoying the fact that I'm in the mess that I'm in because he doesn't care about me. But then the third reality is what? The third truth is that Jesus comes along and he says, David, if you will agree with me that you are a sinner and you agree with me that the Satan is standing behind all this and that you are a slave of his, I will set you free if you'll submit your life unto me. I will set you free. I mean, man, what a deal. Yes, yes, yes. Go to work. I was in construction. Sir, old lady's got. I said, don't say old lady. Don't do that. It's my wife. So she's got you in church, huh? I said, no, I take myself to church. It's good to bring some of that redneck stuff with you sometimes. I take myself. Sir, you're going to be one of those guys, huh? I said, one of what guys? One of them Bible thumpers. I said, well, I don't know what that means. I said, but I just got my Bible, and I can't even find half the books in it yet, but I'm working on it. I didn't even know Deuteronomy was even in there, much less how to spell it or say it. But he said it was in there. I said, I agree. Amen. So I believed. I continued in his word. I became his disciple, and I know the truth. That's salvation. Some believe, stops right there. They don't continue in his word. They don't become disciples. They still don't know the truth. It's still an argument with them. Why do I have to give up? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to go? But that's where we are. Coronation service in your heart. You believed? Are you continuing in his word? Are you becoming one of his disciples? And you know what? As you do that, and he puts those disciplines in your life, the truth in a personal relationship will set you free. From the guilt, from the embarrassment, he'll set you free. But if you stop here, you don't enjoy this part. And you'll struggle. And you'll be mad. And you'll be angry. And it's still everybody else's fault. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name we come. And I specifically pray for those today who stopped at just believing. They've not continued in keeping and abiding in your word. They know they're not a disciple and they've not yet been set free. They have no relationship with Christ. They believe about him. They believe in him. They believe who he is and what he's done, but there's no application to their own life. Because of that, they struggle. And Lord, it's not an argument, it's not a debate. They know exactly who they are because the Spirit of God has been warning them and challenging them for all these years. And yet, the truth will still set them free if they will let it. Jesus, thank you for your love and your patience. Thank you that you never give up on us. Thank you for being a kind and gentle Savior who dealt powerfully with sin and defeated it once and for all. The shackles have been broken. The pardons are available if people will come and receive it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.